about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Dear idiots of Earth, you should not be transmitting. We have a protocol to destroy any and all life we discover. You're lucky I got this message and not my boss. He's a real pain in the glory. Anyway, I have to tell him about this. Maybe he won't want to destroy your planet. I'll let you know tomorrow. In the meantime, do not transmit any more signals.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
When they bring that high, hard one in, I stand in and lean back and then just bam. And it sails away out through the universe like a radio wave that goes past Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto, through the black hole, and into many other galaxies yet named.
Oh, how'd you get so cute? How'd you get so cute? You're so cute. You're so cute. You're so cute.
And now,
today is Monday. Thanks for telling us.
Our feature presentation.
Not according to Dave. According to Dave, it's Friday.
Oh.
August 16th.
That's a change
so,
from what we expected.
Tomorrow's the weekend, everybody. Good news.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Wow. Friday's already here. This week just flew by.
All right. It's Monday morning. It's the 19th of August. That we got. What's happening?
You know, I was thinking we all had busy weekends this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All had exciting things going on.
Bean went outside.
What?
And I thought maybe instead of a thing today, we would hear get a recap.
Whoa.
Because I'm fascinated to hear how new daddy Jensen Karp did.
Mm-hmm.
Wife was out of town.
That wasn't extremely positive.
Yeah.
And you were flying solo for the first time since the baby was born.
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a miscalculation. I had parents around. I had my
in the area.
Yeah. Well, my parents hung out for a long time. Danielle's mom, Adler's grandmother, came by the first night and hung out. So I wasn't fully alone. So I don't want to take full credit, but you know, he survived. He's alive.
All right.
And I think that's probably the most important part.
The rest of your family was like, look, somebody stop by and check on Jensen every 30 minutes.
Yeah. I think I was proud of what I accomplished as a new dad. But there are things, you know, you just I want to talk to Drew about it this week.
Oh.
Because I think that there's a certain amount of parenting that dads are just bad at.
And like women, breastfeeding?
Yes. Weirdly enough, I couldn't get any milk all weekend. But it's an instinctual thing that I'm, you know, I think that some dads, most dads lack.
Is that comforting the baby, holding the baby?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly.
Loving the baby?
Well, no, I love the baby.
But I mean, that only makes sense because your son is used to your wife's body and has been since long before he was born.
Yeah, and he knows her heartbeat. There's a lot of stuff like that. But I also just mean, like, instinctually what to do next. Like, I'm good at sort of being the sous chef. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, as long as there's a chef in the house.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, I think I did a great job, and he's a very easy baby. But, you know, it took me about 45 minutes to figure out the car seat. You know, no big deal.
That's pretty standard, as I understand it. They do not make those easy.
No, stuff like that. But I had a fun time, and what a beautiful little child I have.
Well, good for
with
you.
So much hair.
Allie, you had
No. I understand you want to lead with a baby.
I do.
My friend saw Jersey Shore peen this weekend.
I saw that.
Definitely
that was
lead with, I hung out with my baby.
So that thing when the stripper opens up its towel, there is the penis?
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely
okay,
peen.
Can you back up a step?
I always thought when I, like, that's a thing, right?
Yeah, that you'd have a sock
or
something.
But I thought there'd be a sock there. No.
No.
Okay.
Where
was their Jersey Shore person?
He was at Chippendales.
Okay.
Which, after we went to a big concert on Friday night, Def Leppard.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. No, it was ridiculous. Chippendales reached out to my friend and said, we would love to host you guys. And we were like, no. And then they're like, Vinny from Jersey Shore is hosting. I'm like, okay, yes.
God.
Yeah. We are doing that for the comedy.
I would like
and
to see it.
We prearranged that he would bring my friend Stacy on stage, mm-hmm. and she would have to towel him off after a shower.
He wasn't DJing. He was stripping?
Oh, no. He's stripping. Yeah, he's not the DJ. The other guy's the DJ. He's just another guy. I don't know.
You talk to us
are.
Like we all know.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know either. DJ Pauly D?
Yeah, it's not okay. him.
Not him.
It's another one. Okay. And it's not the one that's in jail. It's the other one.
Okay. Not the situation.
Yeah, Vinny.
Not the situation.
I understood that I'm the DJ and he's the rapper. That's what I heard.
Oh, got it.
Talk about up-to-date references.
Yeah.
Deep cut. All right, so there was peeing.
Yeah, she saw peeing. It was... It happened. And then my friend texted me and said, hey, we're playing, we're gambling with Vince Vaughn. Do you want to come over? And I'm like, can we leave the show in the middle of it? And my friends didn't want to. And that's when I realized I am very different from my friends. Because I wanted to gamble with Vince Vaughn. Sure. They wanted to stare at dudes that most likely aren't into them.
By the way, gambling in Las Vegas with Vince Vaughn is the most Las Vegas thing ever, right?
Honestly. Yeah.
And you could do all those Vegas baby things.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, which
I'm
sure, no?
he
still does.
We didn't go.
I'm sure he loves that.
I'm sure he receives it. Loves walking around Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Def Leppard was awesome.
Honestly, I was like, they do this one? They do this one? It was.
Oh, you didn't know their songs?
I knew like the hits. But again,
Fast Car was a cover. The Tracy Chapman song was a cover of a Def Leppard song.
I don't think that's true.
That's true at all.
I was looking at it like, wow.
No, I made that up.
No, it was really fun. It was a very fun girls' trip, and I feel dead.
I mean, it almost killed you, it looked like.
Yeah. Wait, Bean went outside?
Bean went outside.
Yeah,
I mean,
can we focus on this? What happened?
I went to see my boy on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Weird Al. By the way, how...
Saturday afternoon?
Yes, there was a matinee.
Seeing a Weird Al matinee is the most Bean thing you can do in the entire universe.
65 plus? Is that what that one is?
Be home by 6.
Is that real?
I'm going to just keep it a Bean.
How's there a matinee?
Due to overwhelming ticket demand, he sold out Friday and Saturday so fast that they put a Saturday matinee show on.
Who's ever heard of that?
Amazing.
Well, they do it for Broadway shows.
Yeah, but this isn't Broadway.
All the time. I mean, I've heard of it from time to time.
Imagine Bean and Donna singing along to I Lost on Jeopardy, singing along to all the songs and walking out and it's still light out.
It's still light out.
Straight up sun.
And going straight to bed, even though it's still light out.
By the way, open with I Lost on Jeopardy. I thought of you, Allie.
Wonderful. Look.
There's nothing I can say about the greatness of Weird Al that hasn't been said a million times and far better.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how great the show is until you see the show. Like, whatever you have in your mind of how the Weird Al show is a good show.
Yes.
Then you go see Al, and he blows you away, all of your expectations, beyond what you could imagine.
Aww.
It's that good.
And you've seen him how many times?
Oh, I don't even know. Many, many, many times. I mean, you know, since I was a teenager, essentially, I've been seeing Weird Al.
Mm-hmm.
So we see the show, and it's phenomenal, and the crowd obviously just goes crazy. And then at the end of the show, well, he had arranged tickets for us, okay, for Donna and me, which was the sweetest thing in the world to do. It's the first time I've ever asked Weird Al for tickets. And he had arranged them for me. And he also left passes for us.
Oh.
And I was like, man, I really don't want to, like, he has to do another show in like 4 hours. The last thing in the world I want to do is be part of an entourage that's going to, you know, prevent him from taking a little nap or something like that.
This is all, this is Bean every single time he doesn't want to do something. He's like, I don't know, maybe it's best for him if I didn't.
No, it's not that, look, I love Al. And I love hanging out with Al. And Donna hadn't seen Al in a long time. But I thought, I don't want to bug Al. And then his person came out of nowhere and said, are you Bean? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, Al's not really seeing people after the show because it's a twofer, but he wanted to make sure that you had a chance to come back and say hello.
Oh, man.
And
what did he mean by say hello?
And I practically, how dare you with that? Filthy
oh
mouth.
God. Well, he's saying yours would be.
And I practically, my point. And you go straight to hell too, lady. So, and the three of you can die. In a shallow grave in Indiana.
Wow.
That's so specific.
I get a tear in my eye, and and he leads us through this labyrinth of hallways and elevators. And then we knock. All right, I'm taking my ball and going home. And then we knock at the door, and Al opens the door, and he gives me this big hug, and he's just so happy to see me, and I'm so happy to see him. And I'm telling you guys, and you mock, it was very emotional, not just because he's the world's greatest human, but because, and as I said to him, this may be the last time I ever see
him. Why would you say that?
He plays in the UK.
You don't know, man.
Why would you say that to him, though?
Because I'm like, it means so much to me that I got a chance to say hello because I don't, you know, I'm moving in a few months and I don't know, you know, and then
he's not allowed out of the United States.
He asked me, you know, questions about how the house on the market and stuff was. Very, very kind. And I said, I said, you play London? He's like, yeah, of course.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I hope so, because, you know, it was very sad.
You skipped the UK.
What was sad?
It was just sad knowing that, look, we see Al fairly regularly in this job. You know what I mean? We have men every year, right? So I don't know when I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to Al again. He's a very meaningful part of my life.
Right.
So we're leaving and we take a couple of pictures and stuff. And by the way, real quick, because I know we're already almost out of time. Sweetest thing ever, as we're walking up to the venue, this mom is behind us on the sidewalk and she is walking her son, you know, in the direction of the venue. And she stops and turns him toward the marquee and says, look. And he's like, oh, my God, really? She was surprising him.
Awesome.
He had no idea. And he was freaking out. And just seeing like a 12-year-old kid like hugging on his mom and just practically crying, he was so happy. And I told Al that story. And it seemed to be very meaningful to him, too. I mean, the guy's been doing it for how long? And 12-year-olds are still so excited to see him. You know what I mean?
It wasn't his mom.
It was his mom, Allie. So anyway, as we left, I said, Al, thank you for being a friend all these years, and we love you. And he said, and the last words I ever heard from Al Yankovic,
what's wrong with you?
Just that
the most
day.
Negative person
the
ever.
The last words I ever heard from my hero's mouth were, beat it, kid. No, he didn't say that. He said, I love you, too.
Aww.
He said, I love you, too. And then I just cried like a baby.
You going to visit his grave?
He's not dead.
Are you sure? The way you're telling the story.
No,
really?
I'm just saying, I'm moving away, and I feel like because of this job, we see Al frequently. I don't think I'll have that opportunity when I'm working as a mailman.
He's going to go to London.
Okay.
He can travel. Like, if this guy is this important to you, why are you assuming he's dead to you?
He's not dead to me.
Well, that's the way you're saying it.
I just feel like my opportunities are drying up. That's all I'm saying. It was just another chapter along the way to closing down my life in America, and it was emotional. That's all. It was a great day, you guys.
The pictures are adorable.
I'm glad it was
great pics.
It was really fun. It was really fun. So
when
anyway.
They did the encore, like five, were you like, I don't know, it's getting late.
Gotta get home.
Well, you can't miss Yoda. I mean, Yoda's the big
Correct.
Encore closer.
Sure.
You don't miss that. You don't leave before Yoda.
Mm-mm. Let's go get some toast. Good
All right,
show.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I would just like to state once again, for the record, that I think this might be the worst idea we've ever had.
Oh, come on. We've had bad ideas before. Animal stories on the show today.
Yeah.
We have the worst first date you ever went on. Reuben, old man Reuben.
Of all people.
Has a list.
Yeah.
He really does.
Over the last 300 years, he's really put together quite a bunch of dates.
He really has.
Yeah. I mean, he's just having dinner, and the next thing you know, Mount Vesuvius is erupting, and that's not his fault.
No.
He's just wrong place, wrong time.
Reuben. Did he poo himself?
He may have.
No.
That may have been one of them.
Somebody else on the show may have, too, by the way.
Why am I looking at beer mugs?
Plus, great news, and we've got a pair of passes to the Pasadena Daydream Festival, which is this weekend.
Whoa.
No, it's not this weekend. It's a week from this weekend, and it's The Cure, you guys. We're giving away tickets to The Cure.
And the Deftones.
Very excited about that.
Daddy, I'm going to bend over now.
Okay. That's not.
I didn't.
Come on.
What?
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Take me out of this seventh circle of hell and give me some good news.
Wow. How was Seth Rogen on Friday?
Great.
He was great.
He was great?
Yeah, really,
was great.
Really fun.
Well, I feel like he had a wonderful weekend when he saw what his movie did, you guys. Good Boys laughed its way to the top of the U.S. box office. $21 million. Not bad, you guys.
It was so good.
You saw it?
It was so good, yeah.
Awesome.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, sometimes you see trailers and you go, that looks hilarious. And then you get there, you don't know. It's like a coin flip whether it's going to be good or bad. It was really good all the way through. Okay.
But here's the thing. It's the first time that an R-rated comedy has placed number one since the movie The Boss in spring of 2016.
Wow.
Isn't that insane?
Wow. They are unicorns.
It's also the biggest opening for an original comedy in 2019 so far, and the second biggest of any comedy this year. Behind Madea's Family Funeral.
Well, you can't. Yeah. That shows how many comedies have been released, I mean, or have at least been seen by people. Not many.
True.
Crazy.
Hey, Kevin, were you kidding on Friday about having seen it twice?
Yeah, I think it was like 3 or 4 p.m. So, yeah, I was.
Okay.
But
I would not have been surprised if you had seen it twice.
If I had time, I would have seen it twice.
Mm. Okay.
It was funny.
All right. Well, $21 million, you guys.
That's happy really for good. Seth Rogen.
Yes. Yeah. Hobbs and Shaw came in second. By the way, that's up to $436 million globally.
If something doesn't hit a billion, don't bother talking about it anymore.
Well, it's not even a movie. It's like a web series.
You're right. You're right. Well, then I can talk about The Lion King.
Because
that's over a billion overseas. They earned about $12 million for third place. The Angry Birds Movie 2. Mm-hmm.
That exists?
It exists. Here's the thing. It had a six-day opening. Because it opened on Tuesday. So it brought in about $16 million, which not great when the budget was $65 million.
Ouch.
So I think
they got to pay those birds.
That you know how they get. You know, they want bigger trailers.
They're unionized.
It's just cuckoo. Yeah.
I feel like I pay relatively close attention to what's going on in show business.
No idea.
Never heard a word about there being a new Angry Birds movie.
Yeah. The Angry Birds Movie 2
is
what it's called. Yeah.
It's and, got a snappy name.
Oh, yeah. Coming in fifth, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. You guys, I don't know. Were you aware that Kiefer Sutherland tours with the band?
Sure.
Yeah.
Really?
I knew he did some, but I didn't
know. Doing it for a few years.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to listen to him because I had no idea, but I'm not going to be able to see any of his shows because he had to cancel the last bit of his tour. Because he slipped on the steps of the bus in Denmark, injured a rib, difficult to breathe, impossible to sing, so he had to cancel the final leg of his European tour, which is a bummer. But he said he's going to make them all up. Don't worry, good people of
wherever you Europe. Are.
He's above Renner, below Kevin Bacon.
Agreed.
Okay.
By the way, not a bad segment one day for us to figure out the top five celebrity singers ever.
I mean, after William Shatner, you mean, right?
Listen, don't give up your list. I have thoughts.
Okay,
obviously, we're all thinking the Hoff, obviously.
The Hoff plays?
Yeah. All right, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the way, speaking of injuries, did you see the pictures of the recently departed drummer for Slater Kinney? Did you see the pictures of her leg?
No.
She was in a very serious car accident. Did you see him, Allie?
No.
She broke one leg and then her collarbone on the other side of her body. What's her name? Janet Weiss, I think. And I've never seen gnarlier stitches and more of them. I mean, it looks like she had 100 stitches down her leg. Mm. And she's got a new band now, and she's just getting ready to go out on a tour, and she can't. But, I mean, my God.
So when you said recently departed, you meant from Slater Kinney.
From Slater Kinney, yes.
Okay, all right. Yes. I'm like, are you going to stop talking about the injuries because she's dead?
No.
At what point does it not matter how many stitches she has?
Gnarly injury to her neck, her arm, but also she's dead.
I was like, wait, did nobody hear him say recently departed?
Bury the lead there.
And this is coming from Allie, who saw a one-armed drummer this weekend.
Right. She left the band. And after 24 years, like 3 weeks ago, and then she got into this incredibly serious car accident. And it was just, I mean, I don't know how you come back from something like that. I mean, I guess it could be a super long recovery, but man, it was gnarly.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Have her talk she's alive. Leopard guy. Mm-hmm.
She's alive. She's alive.
Buried next to Weird Al.
By the way, is that still the most incredible story in rock history that the drummer lost an arm and kept his job?
He didn't even miss a beat.
No pun intended.
Thank you.
Yeah. He's incredible.
It's amazing.
Except when they're showing him on the big screen and I turned to my friends and I said, doesn't he look like Jeremy Roenick? And everyone's like, who's Jeremy Roenick?
What? I'm bad friends.
That's what I'm saying.
You need new friends.
You might be right.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Some birthdays for you guys. Matthew Perry. Remember when we all decided we were the dicks and not Matthew Perry?
Yes. That was a harsh reality.
That was very upsetting. Yeah. Kira Sedgwick, John Stamos, Peter Gallagher, Erica Christensen, Melissa Fumero, and notorious murderer Bill Clinton.
The internet has a new hero, you guys. And his name is Tony Santoro.
Oh, this isn't Chicago guy, is it?
This is Chicago guy. by the way, Allie, have you checked out his photos?
I haven't. I've only seen the videos, and it doesn't show him.
He's not at all what he would look like.
Really?
He is surprisingly attractive and kind of normal looking.
Okay.
Shocking.
Yeah.
So what's the story, Kevin? How did he happen to run into this poor sad coyote pup?
He's an amateur botanist.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all?
Okay. And so he's often out in the woods and out in the wild, and mm-hmm. he saw this little animal that just looked sick and injured, and he didn't know what was wrong with it. But he started chasing it, which was odd. Mm-hmm. And then he caught up to it, and you'll hear him talking to the coyote, and it's bizarre.
No, it's okay. Hey, 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 hey. It's okay. Hey, shh, 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 shh. Come here. Hey, shh, you're okay.
Okay, now so far, no Chicago accent, right?
No, it's fine, right. Yeah.
That's my question about this, is it seems to grow as the video goes.
I'm not gonna f*** with you. Don't worry about it. No, you're not that tough. Come here. Hey.
Of course, it's a wild animal, so everyone knows, especially on this show. You could get hurt with a wild animal at any time.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. How long till this coyote bites him in the foot?
You got to go to a rehab facility or something.
Oh, now he's all of a sudden he's very Chicago.
It's a different guy.
What just happened? Same guy. All of a sudden the accent.
He cut to him. He's eating a deep dish pizza, wearing a White Sox hat.
You got to go to a rehab facility or something. Listen to me. Hey, you probably got mange. Maybe you got rabies. I should have brought my goddamn gloves. Shh. It's okay. It's okay.
Shh. Now, I would like you to notice, being that he's facing the coyote,
uh-huh.
and he's moving in slowly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's a wild animal.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did he pet it? Did he feed it?
Did he name it?
Not yet.
You'll need help. You know, and I just don't want to get bitten. I want to help you, but I don't want to get bitten. Did some redneck shoot your parents? What's going on?
Okay. A lot of questions for an animal that can't talk. he's really expecting a lot from this poor coyote.
I feel like he's working through it.
This coyote hasn't been through enough.
Come on. Hey. Shh, it's okay. I'm not going to f*** with you.
Okay, so at some point, the coyote literally just rolls over and is like, look, I give up.
I need some help.
I need help. It's kind of sweet.
Not in a bad way, but please don't bite me. But I've had my rabies spider.
Okay, being you?
No, I'm just on antibiotics.
I see, okay.
If it makes you feel any better, shh. It's okay. What happened to your fox?
Now what happened?
My favorite part. What happened to your fox?
He's talking about his folks, but he's... What? How Chicago can he get him? Why does it change so much?
Well, why don't we go to an expert? Johnny Chicago, your thoughts on the man's video so far?
I think this guy, Tony Santoro, is putting up a front. You just don't start with no accent and then go right into it all of a sudden.
You think it's fake?
Yeah, he's faking it. You know, he wants to put on the act like he's from Chicago so his little coyote video gets more views.
And you are actually from Chicago, right, Johnny Chicago?
I'm from the South Side. Yes, I am.
What happened to your fox?
By the way, I will say, not to spread conspiracy theories that the president will later retweet based on nothing, but I went to his YouTube channel, which is called Crime Pays But Botany Doesn't. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have anywhere near this much of an accent in his other videos where he's talking about plants.
But the video does look like valid. It does look like it's actually happening, but he is putting on. Why would he put on the Chicago accent?
Maybe when he gets excited. Maybe he's a little more standard English in his regular videos that he's just standing there looking at a fern. But when he's excited in his natural environment, maybe it just comes out.
Huh? I think you gotta come with me. I was gonna take you to a rehab.
What? Going so extreme.
Thank you, Jets. He's doing a little overboard accent right there. That doesn't even make sense.
Why would even anyone get on the radio and fake an accent? That's crazy.
I don't know. Who would do such a thing?
My friend Cece works in a rehab. Shh, it's okay. That was cute. You think you're tough. You're trying to show me you're tough. I believe you. I believe you're so tough.
By the way, he does pick up the coyote and does walk it back to his vehicle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then says, wait here. I'm going to go look at some other plants. And then comes back and takes care of him and ends up giving him a bath.
By the way, hero, first of all, for going to the effort to save this animal who is obviously in distress and probably wasn't going to make it. I mean, I give him all the credit in the world for trying to help here. But the accent is still a little mysterious.
It's driving you crazy, right?
A little bit.
It's not cool.
Have we not established that I'm not going to eat you?
I mean, he's basically eyeing him like he's afraid of him, of course, because it's a wild animal. And anybody that would get close to a wild animal is dumb.
Obviously.
Don't you believe me yet? You're pretty underweight and, you didn't want any of that turkey jerky I gave you.
Man, he's getting more Chicago by the second.
So that makes me worried. I just seen a tick jump ship, which means that either there's some sort of problem with your blood flow or the tick itself thinks you don't stand a chance. But I'm going to see that you have a chance.
I was gonna, you know what I was gonna do? Is take you to a nice rehab facility.
You know what I was gonna do?
What's going on? This is Dan Aykroyd, the Blues Brothers, by the way. Really is. Isn't it?
And then they'll release you back to the wild and you can go eat some feral cats and squirrels and stuff like that, you know?
Hey, Johnny Chicago, how often do you run into coyotes in Chicago?
The only coyotes I run into are my bookie when he's coming to eat me after I don't pay him.
You happy with that?
No, I
the lovely Lana Del Rey on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. I can't wait for the new album coming out. I think it's next weekend, I want to say.
Yeah, right.
I love her so much. Hey, Monday means great news here on K-Rock. First, Allie Scott, what's happening?
Well, I know Jensen only likes his concerts to be, what, 8 minutes total?
No, I can stand an hour.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about them doing covers?
For an hour?
Anybody. Just do you want them to do a cover?
Let's
are you like,
it.
Oh my God, no. This,
yeah.
This cuts
always
into
like
the
it.
Time.
No, I always
all
like
right,
it.
You're a fan of the cover.
Fun. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I agree. I was not expecting that from Jensen.
Yeah, no, I like it.
I would think a cover, you'd be like, this is now 4 more minutes. And I don't want to be
here. Oh, no, I don't want to add time
no,
for the cover.
No, it's not. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, no.
So you want them to drop some of their number one hits if they're going to do a cover.
Right.
Yes.
Rather than make the show long enough to encompass them all.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, the Smashing Pumpkins treated their Camden, New Jersey audience to a very interesting cover during their set while on tour with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Billy Corgan and his bandmates did a very Smashing Pumpkins spin on the 1970 folk rock classic Fire and Rain by James Taylor. They added...
Who had Fire and Rain as a possible cover at a Pumpkins concert?
However, I haven't heard it yet, but this is what the article says. They added a 2-minute instrumental intro with, quote, electric guitar shreds and dazzling synths. I love a dazzling synth, right? Who's with
sure.
me? You guys want to hear a little bit?
I do, very much.
Here it is.
Well, the sound isn't great. That doesn't help.
No.
But it sounds like a fairly sincere cover.
It sounds like something that was taken off of the wall. Like, that they were like, no, this won't make that album. Like, it just had a weird, almost Pink Floyd feel to a James Taylor song.
I can feel that, yeah.
You see?
I think that was probably fun.
Okay. For the band or the people in the audience? Or
I'm just wondering, based on the age of the audience, how many people even knew that that was a James Taylor cover from 50 years ago?
Yeah, I don't think anyone...
James Taylor, really? Fire and Rain?
I don't think there's a big... I think that song...
Not
I think
a lot of crossover?
I think they recognize the song. I don't think that they know everything.
Right.
What an unusual choice.
It really was. Absolutely. Guys, when we travel, we don't expect to get a note from TSA, right? Just hand it to you?
No, certainly not.
It's weird. So this man, Neil Strassner, was going through security at a New York airport in June when a TSA screener handed him a note. Later, he obtained footage via the Freedom of Information Act because he wanted to see this woman's reaction because he was like, this is really weird. So he got the video and you can see her give him the note and then she keeps talking to him as he is walking away. Turns out she's saying, oh, are you going to read that? Are you going to read the note right now? Are you going to open it? And he said, I didn't open it because I didn't care. I was running to a flight, whatever. Want to know what the note says?
Sure.
It says, you ugly.
Bring it in, morning cheer.
U-G-L-Y. You ain't got no alibi, you ugly. You ugly. You mama say you ugly. Hey!
What the heck is happening? Why would she do that?
What's going on?
In a million years, I can't imagine the impetus behind that decision.
No.
I mean,
no.
Was it like, ha, ha, ha? I mean, I don't...
Like, she was... On the video, you could see her laughing as he walks away.
Yeah.
But just bizarre.
Was she, like, giving him a neg? Do you know what I mean?
Like, he would come back and be like, what do you mean, I'm ugly?
So, yeah,
and then they'd start dating? That was their
like
meet
that.
Cute?
I can't think of another reason to do that.
Well, he contacted her employer. They didn't respond, so he posted the video on Reddit, and now she's fired.
As she should be, by the way.
Absolutely. I mean, you hand that note to the wrong person. things aren't going to end well for anybody in the airport.
And by the way, don't tell me something I already know.
I got a mirror, lady. Right, yeah, exactly. I am well aware. Yeah, it's just, what a weird, weird story.
And is there any repercussion?
She was fired.
Oh, not like lawsuit or anything. I was called ugly. I can't even look at myself anymore. My wife left me.
Oh. I think her being fired is enough.
My kids don't look at me the same.
Oh, my God.
Is that what's troubling you, Bunky?
It was a weird voice.
I'm old.
All right, you guys. This is a weird story. A Welsh town is taking full advantage of technology in their bathrooms. They are planning to install a futuristic bathroom feature to stop sex in their public restrooms. So if you're caught, did you do the story last week?
No.
Why are you guys smiling?
No, he's just thinking of ideas.
Ew, mugs. Yeah. So if you're caught doing the dirty inside the stalls, you're going to be soaked with water jets and interrupted by high-pitched alarms.
Fortunately, those are my two biggest turn-ons.
Well, here's your third. The doors will also fling open when the weight-sensitive floors detect more than one user.
I love it when people watch, too.
See? There you go.
Oh, this is the sexiest restroom I've ever heard of.
This is just insane to me. You want to know how much this is going to cost?
Yeah, how much?
$170,000 euros. I guess not dollar euros. And then if you translate that to our dollar, it's about $188,000, you guys.
Why? Seems not so worth it.
Yeah, why so much?
I don't know. They just want that area to not have a bunch of people boning in it because they want to grow football within that area. So I guess they want to make it more family friendly. Mm. But what the heck?
I say save the money and let the occasional couple bone. Yeah. How often can it happen? It can't be very often.
I mean,
not for me.
I'm
real ugly.
Oh, they're gonna.
I was told by a letter.
Okay. Water jets, high pitched alarms, and doors flinging open. This must happen a lot there.
I just can't imagine a couple making the decision to do it in a porta potty. You know what I mean?
Don't knock it.
Okay.
Yeesh. I mean, it's weird. All right, guys.
You're ugly. I'm not ugly.
Oh, my God. Some birthdays. Melissa Fumero from Brooklyn 99. Erica Christensen, Peter Gallagher, John Stamos, Kira Sedgwick, Matthew Perry.
Ali, tell me, I know you were very busy in Las Vegas over the weekend, but tell me you saw the club show that Dave Grohl did in London on Friday.
I did. Yeah. With Rick Astley.
With Rick Astley. Playing drums for him.
Unbelievable.
And they did Never Gonna Give You Up, and Dave sang it.
Yeah, with like 100 people in the audience.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Amazing. Dave Grohl, the greatest rock star ever, by
the way.
He's
slowly chalking the idea of him playing for everyone.
Yeah. Yes.
He's getting closer and closer, adding Rick Astley. That's a big move.
Oh, well, they played together multiple times before. They played festivals together.
Really?
I mean, they're pals, yeah.
I have no idea.
I mean, he's everything, you guys.
He really is.
Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, that means we take you away from the bad news that you may get on other channels and instead bring you great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! In the event that you missed this, it got quite a bit of play over the weekend, but I want to make sure everyone hears about, once again, a community coming together in the face of unspeakable tragedy. And I'm talking about the Walmart shooting in El Paso that killed 22 people. Just a terrible, terrible story. And you think about all of those lives. I mean, 22 people, that's hundreds of people's lives affected by the loss of those people. And one of them was a man named Antonio Basco, who lost his companion of 22 years. Margie Record had died. He gave interviews talking about how he was now completely alone in the world. He had no other family and very few friends. And he said, look, we're going to be having this funeral on Saturday. Anyone who wants to come can come. Hmm. Not only did El Paso Strong show up in the hundreds, but people flew in from all over the world.
Wow. Wow.
To come be with this man. People came from California, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, from Mexico. A couple people came from Europe. Jordan Ballard, 38, of Los Angeles, said, I can't imagine. She had lived in New York during 9/11. She said, I can't imagine going through something like that alone, that kind of tragedy alone. I know that I was lost at that time, and I had a family, and I had, you know, we all had each other. So I wanted to be here for them. People drove 15 hours in cars to get there. Jerry Brown, 58, of San Angelo, Texas, got in his car and drove over 400 miles. He said, in the military, we have a saying, we don't leave people behind. It didn't matter where I was. I knew I was going to come here today. So he got into town along with many, many others, stood in line for hours to pay his respect. And he went to the funeral, and there were over 3,000 people there.
Oh my gosh.
To turn out. And if you saw any news coverage of this man on the news, you could see what a difference it made. Every single one of those people came up and hugged him and expressed sympathy for his loss, and it made all the difference in the world. So he went from having potentially nobody at this funeral to having the whole world. And I know that a lot of people, they really do, they find the strength to help others when tragedy like this strikes, and this is a perfect example of it. And my applause to all 3,000 of those people that waited in 100-degree heat, by the way, to walk past and be there for the funeral. And that is my great news.
That is lovely.
It's crazy to think the same world that caused the tragedy is also the same world that gave 3,000 people to the funeral. It's hard to even put your, you know, wrap your brain around.
And I think it's also, thank you for pointing that out, Jensen, because I think it's also important sometimes to think, even though these tragedies happen, there are still, I think, more good people in the world than bad.
Yep.
For sure. My story is about a very compassionate Uber driver from the city of Buffalo. Here's what she did. Her name is Lamia Jabbar. She first picked up a woman named Diane early one morning last week so she could take her to Tim Hortons. She was an employee there. She had to make her shift. And as they were chatting during the car ride, Diane mentioned that she had been looking forward to Christmas because she was hoping to receive a new robe, some house shoes, maybe a dress for church. Obviously not extravagant purchases. And Diane said, I just don't have the money right now because I use most of my finances to help take care of my grandkids. Well, after Lamia dropped her off, she didn't pick up any more passengers that day. Instead, she headed to Old Navy to do some shopping. She bought her a dress and it bought a $50 gift card so she could purchase shoes and a robe on her own. Then she went back to Tim Hortons, got in the drive-thru line, and surprised her at the drive-thru, handed her the dress and the gift card and said, listen, you shouldn't have to wait until Christmas to get this. You've been on my mind since I dropped you off, and I just wanted to let you know that this is now yours, which is so lovely and such a beautiful thing. And she posted it on her Instagram, and a lot of people are saying that's all it takes sometimes, just something as simple as looking out for your fellow American or fellow human and just saying, you know what, I've got the means right now, let me get this for you. And the video is just lovely. First of all, it's funny because when she pulled up to the drive-thru, the woman didn't really recognize her, and she's like, I just drove you this morning and you changed me, and now I'm about to hopefully change your day. But the video is so adorable because she just said, my day was going so bad, you just changed everything, thank you. And Lamia said that she doesn't usually publicize her good deeds. She does a lot of things, you know, offline. But she said that she hopes the video will inspire her followers to do something else that's kind for a stranger. So it is just lovely, lovely video.
You said it was Tim Hortons. That's Canada, right?
No, there's Tim Hortons all over the place.
What? Yeah, Tim Hortons in America?
That's something I would drive to go see.
I have never seen one.
Well, go to Buffalo.
Okay, I sure will.
Or do you think she drove her all the way to Canada?
Oh, now we gotta find out the real story.
What's going on with these two? Do you think she really went to Old Navy?
I think they're in love.
Okay, well.
This is taking a turn.
Sure did, and that's my great news.
You guys, Hello? Manny Mota, you guys all have seen Planes, Trains, Automobiles
mm-hmm.
movie, yeah.
Of course, the greatest okay. Thanksgiving movie ever.
That's true, I agree with you. Well, this is sort of the great news version of it. Sergeant Seth Craven has been serving in Kabul, Afghanistan for the past 3 years as a member of the West Virginia National Guard. Now, he had put in a request for leave numerous times and was unable to because of what was going on, obviously, with the military, and he finally got permission to be by his wife's side during her scheduled C-section.
Oh, wow.
She was pregnant and having a baby, and he was trying to set up a time that he can go there and see the birth. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge deal, right? I mean,
yeah.
he had to go through all these hoops and et cetera. So he started his journey home to Charleston, West Virginia on August 4th, but immediately ran into some troubles traveling. He flew to Philadelphia for 2 days, had to get connecting flights where he ended up landing from Afghanistan originally, even though, he's trying to get to West Virginia.
Right.
He can't. He can't even get a flight out. Everything's getting canceled. No car rentals available because of a rough storm. And he found himself just sitting there, head in hands, trying to figure out a way, sitting in the airport, knowing he might miss the birth of his child.
Did Lamia pick him up in her Uber?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay,
that's
go ahead.
My great news.
Okay. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Mark, wait, he was kidding. He's not dead yet.
No, I was kidding. Now I'm still alone in this room. Okay.
All right, so he's sitting there head in hands trying to see the birth of his child.
Charlene Vickers picks him up and drives him all the way there. She was also going to West Virginia, mm-hmm. and so she created sort of a carpool along with two of her coworkers, Aaron and Maureen, and they drove all the way to Philadelphia over 8 hours from Philadelphia to Charlotte. They went through storms. They had rest stops. They had to pull over, and they arrived just past midnight on Friday, August 9th, right to his wife, who then at 7:56 the same day welcomed their son, Cooper Owen.
While they were in West Virginia, did they go to the Tim Hortons locations in Clarksburg, Fairmont, Morgantown, Parkersburg, St. Albans, or Vienna?
And that's my...
The Pasadena Daydream Festival, you guys, is happening at the Brookside at the Rose Bowl on August 31st with The Cure, Pixies, and Deftones. We've got your tickets you can win coming up on today's show and Animal Stories all straight ahead as well. Hey, look, you guys, it's Old Man Reuben.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Reuben was hired on this program how long ago, Rube?
Feels like eons ago.
1963.
But it's funny because you're so old that it's like 0.001 of your life. That's how long you've actually been on the show.
Hasn't even made the mark on the timeline yet.
And he was hired because he went to high school with Marconi. So he knew all about radio and the waves and everything. Yeah,
he had it in. So Reuben, we were talking off air in the meeting at the end of last week about first dates. And I guess I didn't realize that you were out there in the dating pool, but I imagine that at some point all of your wives die, so you become single again.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. You gotta start from scratch. Now, would you say that you are generally a successful dater or no, Reuben?
I'm a successful dater, if I get a second date, but the probability of me getting that second date isn't very high.
If I was successful, I was successful. That's the weirdest answer.
Do you get super nervous on a first date, Ruben? Is that the problem?
Well, here's the thing. I'm not like Jensen or Beer Mug Ali, even you, Bean. Like, I'm not cool. I'm not like effortlessly
Ruben,
cool.
Oh, Ruben, you're so cool. You're cool, dude. You knew James Dean personally.
I'm extremely awkward, and
when you taught Elvis how to play guitar, no one is cooler than that. Really?
I taught him how to swing his hips too.
Yeah, you did.
And broke yours.
Yeah, you did. First of all, you're very cool.
You are cool.
And we kid about Ruben, but Allie, I'm going to let you speak on behalf of the ladies. He's adorable and so sweet, right?
So sweet, has a great sense of humor, and we posted a picture of Ruben once, and my God.
Yeah, people responded very positively.
Thirsty women on the timeline.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ruben can get it. All right.
Yeah.
So, first dates. Give me some examples of how you've botched it, and we are going to take some calls. That's the phone topic here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-848-9767. First date disasters. Now, are we looking for just the guy, or can it be the girl? I mean, can it be you're the one who had the disaster, or can it be the person you were out with?
Oh, I think you could be a witness. Yeah.
You could be the recipient of the bad date as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1-800-520-1067. What's gone wrong for you, Ruben?
All right. Well, I've had a few of them go wrong, so I'll just start.
He has two pages in front of him of notes.
No, let's start with the one that went wrong even before the date. So I gotten his phone number from a girl, and I had called her up multiple times asking for the wrong girl's name. And multiple times she said no, so I kept calling back and trying, thinking I had the wrong number.
Oh, no.
And finally she asked if I was looking – I'm not going to say her name, but she asked if I was looking for her, and then she asked if I was – my name was Ruben, and I said yeah. And then that's when the things got –
hello.
Awkward.
So just because you couldn't be bothered to learn your date's name, she didn't want to go out with you.
No, we ended up going out. We went out a few times, but it didn't work out. I think that had a lot to do with it.
It's not a great start.
Yeah, not a good one at all. Another one, Bean, I think I shared this one with you off air, was I went on a first date with a girl to go see the movie Up.
Mm-hmm.
And this came up when we were talking about sad Disney movies.
First 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'll admit, man, look, I tried my hardest not to wipe my eyes. But like,
wait, why
tears are flowing down my face.
Oh, I think that's that would nice, be nice,
Ruben.
I was embarrassing and awkward, and I'm sure I didn't get a second date because of it.
It's not like you went into like Terminator 2 and cried. Like you cried in a movie everyone cried at. By the way, Ruben, I cried in Terminator 2.
Now again, Allie, I defer to you. I think in the age of toxic masculinity, you would be delighted to see a man not afraid to show his feelings,
if
right?
I went to see Up in a theater with a guy and he didn't at least go, I'd be like, this guy has no soul. Something is wrong.
What if Ruben tried to counteract it and was like, she's dead! She died!
Spoiler
just
alert.
Just like straight up screaming.
I'm not sad at all!
This movie's hilarious!
I'm going to say the first example is on you, Ruben. I think the second one is not. I think you're fine on the second. All right, what's number three?
All right, here's another one. I was driving a girl on a first date, and the car in front of us hit the brakes pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I instinctively reacted and reached my arm over.
Oh, the mom move.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got boob.
Exactly. And so by the time the car was stopped, I looked over and my hand was on her boob, and I was like, oh, this is awkward.
That's incredible.
But you saved her life.
Yeah.
Well, and one boob.
Yeah, sure.
So that one.
She took that personally, and therefore no second date.
Yeah, that didn't go over very well either.
You're trying to save a lady's life. Look, I mean, come on.
I agree. I'm over here thinking of safety first, and apparently they don't like it.
It must feel so weird for you to have to wear a seatbelt after all the years that you did, right, Ruben?
Well, you know, times change.
I mean, it wasn't a factor on a horse.
Or a buggy, for that matter.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for bad first dates. Something happened on a first date that made sure that there wasn't a second date. Jensen, you shared something with us off air at the end of the week last week.
Well, yeah, I went on a date and we were supposed to see one of the Incredible Hulk redos or something like that. It was like some sort of movie, and we go and eat, and I still at this point I have a pretty bad stomach. We had went to eat, and I, you know, like 30 minutes into the dinner, just looked over and said to her, and I was like, I'm going to be honest with you. I gotta go home. I have to poop. And just gave up on the date. Just straight up admitted it. Like, I thought that the honesty was almost more attractive.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit through a 2-hour movie having to poop the whole time. There's humanly no way.
Now, you should explain why you wouldn't handle this like a normal person and go to the restroom in the restaurant.
Because as I've said here on the show before, I did not poo in public till I was 28.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah. So I there was no way I was pooping in the movie theater or the restaurant. There was literally no way.
Did she have to get a cab home?
No, I was
able. Did she wait in the driveway?
No. I did hear when I told this story to someone else around that time, he's like, what did you do? He said, I'm going to go to a friend's house real quick. I have to go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
He pulled over. There was no friend's house. He pooed at the side of someone's house, like went to their yard and pooed in their yard and then got back in the car. I was like, oh, thank God he was home, and then got in the car. And I was like, wow. I would have never done that.
No.
But, yeah, but I told her we had met there, so she left her car. I don't think we ever spoke again. She was fine. She was fine with it. I think she was like, I get it, man. Like, if you got to go, you got to go. And then we just gave up.
That's not the way she's told the story to her friends. I'll
no,
tell you that.
No. Poop Jones over here? No.
Yeah. All right. Quick break. We'll come back with your calls. Bad first date experiences. What went wrong? There was no second date. 1-800-520-106. And we'll talk to you in a minute. Never forget, by the way, when you hear his ads, that Stryker has a tail. All right. Never forget that. 21 Pilots next on K-Rock. We're talking about your bad or embarrassing or disturbing first date behavior. Oh, ouch. Let's go to Jay. He's in Long Beach. He's up first on line 3. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Was it you who screwed up the date or your date?
My date.
So, all right. What happened?
We started drinking. She was trying to, you know, hang with me. And I kind of said, hey, you know, want to make sure you're going to be okay on this first date. She's like, no, I'll be fine. So we end up drinking. We have dinner. We go to a bar, and we start drinking again. And she all of a sudden starts to say, look at that girl. Would you like to that girl? And I'm kind of like, this is super odd. Then she started to proceed to make that T-Rex pose with your hands and basically started to point out girls and basically roar at them like a T-Rex.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, and so, and I tell she had been drinking, and so.
But exactly. Is this some sort of dating code that I am unaware of? Like, what does that mean?
I have no idea. But as girls are walking by, she's like, "What do you think about that girl?" And then she's like, "She's a little large, rawr." And I'm like,
"Okay, so it wasn't that she was just transforming into a dinosaur. She was also commenting on like the size of the woman."
Correct. Yeah, it was the most awkward thing. But the best part. Is someone across the way at the bar, you know, we have the bar, the walkway, and then the seats, the tables, and some girl kept catching my facial expressions. So then we started making eye contact, and I was kind of doing like the, I don't know, kind of thing to the girl at the bar. It was the most awkward position that I've ever been in, because now people are noticing what was happening at
sure.
the table.
So you switched girls in the middle of the date, it sounds like.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. Well, then the kicker is I'm taking her home, you know, you give a kiss goodnight. So we started kind of making out, but then she started to lick my lips from left to right as we were making out.
Okay, bye-bye.
And,
like,
and he strictly is a right-to-left guy.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I was hoping that would end up with she was just trying to scout for a third in the threesome, but I guess it didn't. All right, Jay, thanks for the call. Your call is coming up next on K-Rock. Hey, Kevin and Bean. This text from the 818 First Date Stories. First Date showed up hungover and had to leave early so he could go vomit.
Hmm.
All right. From the 817, Drew in Michigan went on a date, sat on the patio, and noticed many police cars. When a bit later, my date spotted her police sergeant ex-husband. Guess who got a taillight ticket after dinner?
Oh, no.
Her ex-husband gave him a ticket because he was with her ex-wife. I like it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. We're taking your calls on.
67.
Yeah.
Damn, right. Bean.
Why not? Travis in Corona.
Was there a porta potty nearby?
Line 5. Hey, Travis. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's going on, man?
Oh, man. Probably the weirdest thing that ever happened to me dating-wise. Everything seemed good. I woke up cold. Everything was wet. And I'm like, what is all this? She's kind of like half sandwiched between the mattress and the wall. And started looking at everything. And I'm like, oh, my God. No way. She had actually peed like all over the place. And if that was an insult to injury, I wake her up and she's like, oh, my God, my husband is going to kill me.
What? Good reveal.
Those are not words you want to hear at the end of a date.
She found a way to be like more offensive than the peeing. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
So you still went out with her again, though, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, absolutely not.
We have three kids.
All right, Travis, thank you for the call, sir. Let's go to Miles, line 8, up next on the Kevin Bean Show. Miles is in Aliso Viejo. Hey, Miles, what happened?
How's it going, guys?
Great.
So I took this girl snowboarding for the first date. I wound up breaking my collarbone.
Oh.
On the way home, we all decided to get some food. I didn't know it was broken at the time, but I was holding my hand up against my stomach so it wouldn't move. She started messing with me. She's like, you really can't move your arm? And she wound up throwing a hot sauce packet at my forehead, and it just hit the center of my forehead and fell down. And right then and there, I knew she was dead to me in the world, and she started laughing. And we had like a 3-hour drive home, and it was just silent the whole time. Like she knew she had just like messed up.
Oh.
And just right in the center of the forehead, like she hit it so perfect.
That's
an incredible bitch.
She was dead to him and the world,
and the
you
world,
guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Miles. Was your collarbone actually broken, by the way?
Yeah, I was skating. I was like snowboarding this rail, and I clipped it, and I wound up breaking it, and it kind of popped out. And
Jesus.
I've done it before, and I kind of knew, but I just couldn't move, and she was messing with me the whole night. And
not to...
Your shirt was the snowboarding, not the hot sauce packet that broke the collarbone, though.
Oh, yeah. Good point. And
probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, okay. I agree. She's dead to the world.
Not a great date. Thank you, Miles. Mm-hmm. Yvonne is in HB. She's on line 3 up next on K-Rock. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi there. So I went on a date. I was supposed to meet a guy at the bar. He was late, really late. We didn't have an exact set time, so I wasn't really pissed. I was talking to other people at the bar, having a good time. He arrives. This bar had a bunch of artifacts in it. And he immediately says, I want to speak to the manager. I want to buy everything in here.
What? Oh, no.
So douchey. And then then he goes to the bathroom, and he's in there for a really long time. And I ended up talking to this woman that was couple seats over from me, and she and I were chatting. She was new to town, and so he comes back and he starts talking to both of us, and then he just taps me on the shoulder. He says, I gotta get out of here. Do you want to go home with me? And I was like, no, we just met 10 minutes ago. So then he looked at her and he said, do you want to go home with me?
And she said no.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, good.
That's
great.
We bonded on that.
Okay, good. And I'm pretty sure I know what he's doing in the bathroom.
Yvonne, can I just say men are the worst? And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that.
They really are. And he kept sniffling, and he was wiping his nose on his scarf, which was so gross.
Okay, he was wearing a scarf.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was rich.
it was wintertime. It was cold, and he had, like, a muffler on or something. But
thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
She let a guy with
so
a
much.
Scarf walk away. I can't believe that.
How do you let that one go?
Jeez.
All right, let's try Matt in Orange, line 1, up next on K-Rock. By the way, a lot of bad first dates in our audience.
Guys are the worst.
Matt, thank you for calling and holding on. What happened?
Yeah, thanks. This one was my fault. The first date, I've been hanging out with this girl for a while. Really wanted to impress her, so I thought I'd take her to the roller rink. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be great. We're going to have a blast. But we get in the parking lot, nobody's there. Like, we thought it was closed. There was no cars at all. So we get inside, and the place is packed. And it's filled with 5th and 6th graders. They're all like 5 feet tall. And we were the only adults there. We were college kids at the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. It was awful. And then the only time we got like alone time or anything, like, time to talk at all, where you're not 4 feet taller than everybody else, was during couple skate.
All the kids got off the floor.
No, yeah. I don't want to be in a couple. Ew, guys are icky. Yeah.
Then it's just the olds out there skating.
That is so bad, though, that if you guys had clicked, that would be the kind of story you would tell on your 25th wedding anniversary. Like, that's a bonding bad date, I think, right?
It was bad, and we ended up sticking it together for a while. We're married so far for a couple years.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome.
A bad date turned into a happy marriage.
Do you guys still go hang out with little kids all the time?
Actually, we're both teachers. Yeah.
This is a great story.
Let's check Matt's search history. Thanks for calling. Our front screener Ruben is still telling us about bad first date experiences. Did you hear him telling us about Trish trying to take that lady to the play when Lincoln got shot? Just trying to have a nice night out.
And that time that they brought a picnic and they laid out on a grassy knoll, and then next thing you know, so the president got killed.
I'm telling you, Ruben is in the wrong place at the wrong time a lot of times, it seems like.
A lot of presidential murder.
It's weird.
A lot of assassinations. Have you looked into Ruben?
It's weird. And then when he smothered President Franklin Roosevelt with a pillow?
Oh, my God. And that Jodie Foster thing with Reagan?
Hey, Animal Stories coming up just after 8. First Alley's here with our Monday morning What's Happening.
Guys, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is off the market.
Yay!
He married his longtime girlfriend yesterday, Lauren Hashian. They got married in Hawaii. They met in 2006, and they have 2 toddler-aged daughters together. So
good for them.
Now they're all married and beautiful, and the picture is gorgeous.
I only want great things for The Rock.
Yeah, finally, it's going to turn around now. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
His life's been pretty awful.
I'm saying he seems like the kind of guy that deserves good things to happen to him because he seems to put a lot of good energy out into the world.
He does. He wakes up at like 3 a.m. and works out and then does his work day. I mean.
Oh, yeah. he works out? The Rock never struck me as a guy who worked out.
Yeah. And he's just peeing constantly. He drinks 4 gallons of water a day.
That's insane.
I know. It's so much. It's just nuts. But congratulations The Rock and Lauren for getting married yesterday in Hawaii.
Allie, how are you doing on your gallon a day? Are you still keeping it up?
I didn't drink as much water in Las Vegas over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you count, you know, like Prosecco. Is that water?
It's water.
I mean, it has liquid, yeah.
It's got ice, right?
Oh, dear. Yeah, I need to get back to it. I only have a half gallon with me today.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know.
You got to feel like you're in the desert.
I know. I'm really parched. Guys, I'm going to ask you who you think the world's highest paid comedians of 2018 are. These are earning estimates from June 1st, 2018 through June 1st, 2019.
Elf! I'm going to say, because I'm always stunned at how much he makes, your boyfriend, Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan came in at number 3 with $30 million.
Kevin Hart?
Only number 1, Jensen.
There you go.
$59 million.
And Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld came in at number 2 with $41 million. Look at you guys. You got 1, 2, and 3.
Chappelle.
Good one.
Not even in the top 10.
Really? Yeah. Even with the Netflix money? That is a surprise.
Well, I think they were thinking a lot of this might have been touring.
Okay.
Bloody asshole.
No,
he did not make the top 10.
Christopher Cross.
Mm-mm, again, just a singer.
How about Schumer?
Schumer came in at number 7 with $21
million. Okay. Mulaney.
John Mulaney, not even in the top 10.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Terry Bradshaw.
He is a football analyst, ex-NFL player.
I got to guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sebastian Maniscalco.
You are correct. He came in at number 5 with $26 million.
Good one.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Nope.
Val Kilmer?
Nope. Hmm. Whichever Tilly isn't the one that gambles. That's Meg Tilly. No, ma'am. Great guess, though, ma'am.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joel McHale!
Nah.
Bam Anderson?
Not a comic.
Joanna Man?
Nope, not a comic
16th
either.
Century Flemish geographer, Gerardus Mercator.
In at number 9. No.
Donald Braunschweiger.
No.
Flavor Flav!
Not a comedian.
Is it Dick?
It is not Dick, no. Whichever Tilly is...
twice.
It's still not Meg, ma'am.
Tito Santana?
No.
Who are we missing?
You Robert. Are missing a good friend of the show.
Okay. Fluffy.
Yes.
Bill Burr.
Oh, no, okay. No.
Everybody named something.
Gabriel Iglesias came in at number 6 with $22 million.
Yeah. I mean, he's playing Honda Center and places like that, of course.
He's so down to earth for that kind of money.
He is. Yeah. He's so lovely.
How about Bill Burr, though? That was a serious guess.
No, not even in the top 10. There are 2 people on this that are people we would never see, and I think they involve puppets.
Oh.
What's his
name? I don't even know their names.
It's what's his face?
Puppet
Terry? No.
Terry Fader?
Yep, Terry Fader, number 8 with $17 million.
I went on a deep dive with Fader once. He's a pretty great story. Dunham, is that his name?
Jeff Dunham at number 9. Okay. All that we're missing, number 10 and number 4. You guys did very well.
How about, not a joke, because I know he's still huge in Las Vegas. How about Carrot Top?
Nope.
Okay.
No, number 4 was shocking to me.
Hmm.
But he toured a lot this last year.
Charlie Manson.
Oh, that's a good guess.
No.
How about
a Detective Pikachu?
Nope, it's Detective Pikachu and not a comedian.
Dang it.
It's Trevor Noah.
Oh, Trevor Noah. That is big. Yes. He does a lot of dates. Yeah.
And
yeah.
The only other one you missed.
I got it.
Yep.
Joe Millionaire.
Nope.
I got it.
My sister, Yvette.
Yvette is not on this list. Mm. It is Aziz Ansari with $13 million.
It's weird. I thought of that, but then I thought this was the year of kind of the canceling of Aziz, so I didn't know if he toured a lot.
apparently did.
That so, is an interesting list.
It
and by
really
the way,
is.
Back to Sebastian, what's his name?
Maniscalco.
I do not get him.
Uh-oh.
I do not get him. What? Why are you laughing?
Well, because I think we... It's fine. Isn't he coming in here soon?
Is he? Well, maybe I'll get him then. Maybe I'll be won over. I'll be charmed.
I don't think he's coming in here because he was really annoyed with a former coworker that didn't think he was funny.
Okay. Well,
little does he know that we have current coworkers that don't find him funny. So congrats, Bean. Good Look, Lord.
I'm not saying he's not funny. I'm just saying I don't get it. It's wow. He may be okay. Too smart for me.
Just got a note from Dave. He's not coming in.
Oh, okay. No, he would, well, he now would he's definitely never not coming in. In. Oh, never
he,
come in.
But he also was coming in, Dave says. Okay.
Some birthdays for you. Matthew Perry, Kira Sedgwick, John Stamos, Peter Gallagher, Erica Christensen, and Melissa Fumero. And that.
Hey. Huh?
Hey, everybody.
What?
Hi,
was my mic not on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Come on, man. I'm working hard here. Let the people hear me.
Okay, now go.
They're going to take away the Hall of Fame thing, though.
That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid Muggs just jinxed us. I'm going to keep telling you to go to your SoCal Hot Topic location near you to pick up the limited edition K-Rock Billie Eilish sticker because you do not want to miss out on an opportunity of this intimate show with Billie for you and 20 friends plus a brand new 2019 Honda Fit. You can go to K-Rock.com for all the details. And don't forget, Beer Mug is going to be at the Glendale Galleria today. From 1 to 3, he'll have lots of K-Rock tickets to give away, and you can pick up your sticker while you're there. All you have to do, well, you go to K-Rock.com for the details. All you have to do is upload a selfie with you and your sticker to K-Rock.com, and you are entered for Billie Eilish. All right, it's been a couple of weeks, you guys, but man, the animal kingdom never sleeps. Hit it, Steve.
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
There's an animal called a manx, and then there's an animal called a mink.
You gotta right. Let it go.
And a lynx?
But there is no minx.
You gotta let it go.
There's no minx. This is one of the most terrifying animal stories I've ever seen. I don't know if you guys saw this on the news. This couple that had to go back to New York away from their vacation home in Florida because they have little kids and it was too dangerous for them to stay because their home has been overtaken by dozens of black vultures that are vomiting and pooping everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is a $700,000 house that they bought just earlier this year at the Ibis Golf and Country Club in West Palm Beach. The man describes the smell as that like 1,000 rotting corpses. The vultures have destroyed the screen enclosures. They've overtaken the pool and the barbecue. The few times the family has visited, they've had to park their car in the garage or the birds will peck them with their beaks. A neighbor on the street says she has it just as bad because the person who lives next door to her is feeding the vultures.
Oh, dear.
I have mixed feelings about this story because my wife continues to feed the raccoons in our neighborhood. And I still feel like somehow that's going to come back to bite us in the butt. Like we're going to end up with 200 raccoons in our yard as word gets out. I just think in general, it's not a good idea to feed wildlife. But these black vultures, it's unbelievable. A neighbor said, imagine 20 vultures trapped biting each other in the pool room. And they can bite through bones. They bang against windows.
Oh.
They bang against my windows, running away from birds that are attacking them. Blood is everywhere. It's a vile, vicious, traumatic fight. It's just awful. And by the way, these are migratory birds, so they are protected by federal law. So you can't just go out there and poison them or kill them if you wanted to. So they got a serious problem. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission has stepped in. They have not only warned, but they fined the neighbor who is feeding roasted chickens to these vultures. But so far, she won't stop. They got to arrest her, right?
Yeah. They got to put her down.
I would think so. This video, though, Allie, will give you nightmares.
No, not watching.
I was out when you said vomiting vultures.
Yeah.
I mean, biting through bone.
Ugh. Yes. If you see hundreds of these birds in your yard, mm-mm. You can't even believe it.
Mm-mm.
A bear somehow fell onto a moving police car, and then things got really weird, is the headline.
Okay.
This is in Northern California. A Humboldt County Sheriff's Office car had its lights and sirens on at 11 p.m. on August 3rd while responding to an overdose call. Tooling down the road when a bear fell from an embankment onto the hood of the car.
Aww.
The patrol car then struck a tree, rolled over, and caught fire, setting a half a mile of vegetation on fire.
And the bear rescued him.
It doesn't say that that's what happened here. I assume the bear just scamped off. But it is so crazy that a bear just falls out of the sky while you're driving down the road. It's like the last thing you would expect. And that starts a wildfire.
So much paperwork for that cop.
Oh, yeah. Years of filling paperwork out.
You're absolutely right about that. This is a very sad story also in California. There is a little island, a little over an acre big, in the middle of Lake McClure in California's Mariposa County. Now, it used to be connected to another piece of land, but there was a sudden rain, kind of flooded, about 2 years ago. And one donkey of a herd of about 40 was stuck on the island with no way off.
Aww.
So not an island. The donkey gets on the piece of land. Now an island. Now what? Donkey can't leave. So neighbors who live nearby have been taking out hay and treats on boats. Like carrots and apples to supplement her diet because she doesn't have much food. Her name is Hillary, by the way. And for 2 years, she has been out there by herself, which is very sad to me because they are herd animals. They need it. There's one guy who is a former police detective who says, look, I want to go out there and tranquilize this donkey, but apparently, as a private citizen, it is illegal to capture a wild donkey.
So that's why they're not traveling back with the donkey. They can't...
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, that's right.
It does seem like if they're bringing him hay, they could bring him back.
It does seem like it would be an easier fix than 2 years of this donkey out there by herself.
Yeah.
But apparently they are working toward it. There is a donkey rescue that is working with the government, and this week is the week that they're going to get Hillary off the island. Do you think that
she should check her emails, too?
Well, I'm wondering if she was really separated from the herd or if she was faking suicides for all the other donkeys. I'm not sure about that. Last week, after months of deliberation, the Department of Transportation released their formal guidelines regarding animals on planes. We've all seen these stories where people show up with a support turkey or a snake.
Yeah.
There are three types of service animals that are allowed on planes now. This is the official word from the government. Do you know what they are? What are the three animals you can take on a plane as a service animal?
Let's knock dogs out.
All right, dogs, yes.
I would say cats.
Cats, yes.
Okay. So we're down.
Now these are not these are service animals, mm-hmm. I guess, not emotional support animals. All right,
mini horse.
Yes, Allie.
Wow.
A mini horse has been recognized in the trio of the most commonly recognized service animals. And you may be wondering why, by the way, because I've been trying to figure this out, too. Like, why would you not have a dog when you could have a horse? Well, they interviewed people about this, and they talked to one woman who is blind, Mona Ramoni. She's been traveling with her miniature guide horse, Callie, for the past 10 years. She pointed out that training a service animal takes thousands of hours. With a dog, you get 8 to 10 years if you're lucky. With a horse, you get 35 to 40 years.
Oh,
amazing.
So that's why the investment in time kind of pays off at the end. In case you're wondering, by the way, she says she can tell when her animal has to poop, and that he can poop on command. She carries bags with her, basically poop bags with her, and says, all right, confetti, go ahead and poop. And then she just poops into a bag.
So you're telling me that I will eventually see just like mini horses walking through a shopping mall or
at
like a Clippers game.
Sebastian's everywhere.
Little Sebastian is everywhere, yeah. I was just really, really surprised. Apparently the horse can hold her pee for as long as she needs to, but when she has to poop, she can poop on command. And I just thought that was remarkable. I mean, I had no idea. You can't get a dog to poop on command, right?
No.
Finally, a North Carolina police department is evicting its pet cat named Sergeant Butters.
Oh, no.
And some residents are mounting a campaign to bring him back. This is a very sad story.
What did he do?
The Winston-Salem Journal reports that the Moxville Police Department's resident feline needs a new home after concerns were raised about a pregnant woman who worked in the building who said she couldn't be around cats. Now, what's that about?
What a bitch.
I mean, if you're allergic to cats, you probably don't want one at your building.
What a bitch.
I say you fire the pregnant lady, right?
Yeah, get her out of there.
I don't think that's...
That's an incredible bitch.
Officers had rescued the cat last year after it was seen hanging around the department. A Save Sergeant Butters Facebook campaign has nearly 600 members now.
This cat didn't earn her stripes to be a sergeant. They just found it outside. F that cat.
I think they named the cat Sergeant Butters.
I hate it.
I'm sorry. Cat stays, pregnant lady goes. Yeah. Beat it, lady with kid. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
You know, I was thinking we all had busy weekends this weekend. All had exciting things going on.
Bean went outside.
What?
And I thought we would get a recap. Whoa. Because I'm fascinated to hear how new daddy Jensen Karp did.
Mm-hmm.
Wife was out of town.
That wasn't extremely positive.
Yeah.
And you were flying solo for the first time since the baby was born.
Well, I mean, that's a bit of a miscalculation. I had parents around. I had my
in the area.
Yeah, well, my parents hung out for a long time. Danielle's mom, Adler's grandmother, came by the first night and hung out. So I wasn't fully alone. So I don't want to take full credit, but you know, he survived. He's alive.
All right.
And I think that's probably the most important part.
The rest of your family was like, "Look, somebody stop by and check on Jensen every 30 minutes."
Yeah, I think I was proud of what I accomplished as a new dad. But there are things, you know. I want to talk to Drew about it this week.
Oh.
Because I think that there's a certain amount of parenting that dads are just bad at.
And like women, breastfeeding?
Yes. Weirdly enough, I couldn't get any milk all weekend. but it's an instinctual thing that I'm, you know, I think that some dads, most dads lack.
Allie,
No. I understand you want to lead with a baby.
I do.
My friend saw Jersey Shore peen this weekend.
I saw that.
Lead with, I hung out with my baby.
So that thing when the stripper opens up its towel, there is the penis?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah, there was definitely penis.
Okay, can you back up a step?
I always thought that's a thing, right?
Yeah, that you'd have a sock or something.
But I thought there'd be a sock there. No,
no,
huh?
No. Okay. She saw
well, where
saw
was penis. Their Jersey Shore person?
He was at Chippendales.
Okay.
Which, after we went to a big concert on Friday night, Def Leppard.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. No, it was ridiculous. And then my friend texted me and said, "Hey, we're playing, we're gambling with Vince Vaughn. Do you want to come over?" And I'm like, "Can we leave the show in the middle of it?" And my friends didn't want to. And that's when I realized I am very different from my friends. Very fun girls trip. And I feel dead.
I mean, it almost killed you, it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, Bean went outside?
Bean went outside.
Yeah,
I mean, that is the
lead. Can we focus on this? What happened?
I went to see my boy on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, yes.
Weird Al. By the way, how...
Saturday afternoon?
Yes, there was a matinee. Doo-doo.
Seeing a Weird Al matinee is the most Bean thing you can do in the entire universe.
65 plus? Is that what that one is?
Be home by 6.
Is that real?
I'm going to just keep it a Bean.
How's that a matinee?
Due to overwhelming ticket demand, he sold out Friday and Saturday so fast that they put a Saturday matinee show on.
Who's ever heard of that?
Amazing.
Well, they do it for Broadway shows.
Yeah, but this isn't Broadway.
All the time. I mean, I've heard of it from time to time. Not
I imagine
often.
Bean and Donna singing along to I Lost on Jeopardy, singing along to all the songs and walking out, and it's still light out.
Yeah, just it's still light
straight
out.
Straight up sun.
And going straight to bed, even though it's still light out.
By the way, open with I Lost on Jeopardy. I thought of you, Allie.
Wonderful. Look.
There's nothing I can say about the greatness of Weird Al that hasn't been said a million times and far better.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how great the show is until you see the show. Like, mm-hmm. whatever you have in your mind of how the Weird Al show is a good show.
Yes.
Then you go see Al, and he blows you away. All of your expectations
beyond what you could imagine. Aww. It's that good.
And you've seen him how many times?
Oh, I don't even know. Many, many, many times. I mean, you know, for since I was a teenager, essentially, I've been seeing Weird Al. Mm-hmm. So we see the show, and it's phenomenal, and the crowd obviously just goes crazy. And he had arranged tickets for us, okay, for Donna and me, which was the sweetest thing in the world to do. It's the first time I've ever asked Weird Al for tickets. And he had arranged them for me. And he also left passes for us.
Oh.
And I was like, man, I really don't want to, like, he has to do another show in like 4 hours. The last thing in the world I want to do is be part of an entourage that's going to, you know, prevent him from taking a little nap or something like
this
that.
This is all, this is being every single time he doesn't want to do something. Sure. He's like, I don't know, maybe it's best for him if I didn't.
No, it's not that, look, I love Al. And I love hanging out with Al. And Donna hadn't seen Al in a long time. But I thought, I don't want to bug Al. And then his person came out of nowhere and said, are you Bean? And I said, yeah. And he's like, well, Al's not really seeing people after the show because it's a twofer, but he wanted to make sure that you had a chance to come back and say hello.
Oh, man.
And I.
And what did he mean by say hello?
And I practically, how dare you with that? Filthy
oh
mouth.
Gosh. Well, he's saying yours would be.
And I practically. My point. And you go straight to hell too, lady. So, and the three of you can die. In a shallow grave in Indiana.
Wow.
So that's specific.
I get a tear in my eye, and and he leads us through this labyrinth of hallways and elevators. And then we knock. All right, I'm taking my ball and going home. And then we knock at the door, and Al opens the door, and he gives me this big hug, and he's just so happy to see me, and I'm so happy to see him. And I'm telling you guys, and you mock, it was very emotional, not just because he's the world's greatest human, but because, and as I said to him, this may be the last time I ever see
Why
you.
Why would you
he
say that?
He plays in the UK.
Him.
You don't know, man.
Why would you say that to him, though?
Because I'm like, it really, it means so much to me that I got a chance to say hello because I don't, you know, I'm moving in a few months and I don't know, you know, and then
he's not allowed out of the United States.
He asked me, you know, questions about how the, you know, the house on the market and stuff was very, very kind. And I said, and I said that, I said, you play London? He's like, yeah, of course.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I hope so because, you know, it was very sad.
He skips the UK.
What was sad?
It was just sad knowing that, look, we see Al fairly regularly in this job, you know what I mean? We have men every year, right? So I don't know when I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to Al again. He's a very meaningful part of my life,
right?
So we're leaving and we take a couple of pictures and stuff. I said, Al, thank you for being a friend all these years and we love you. And he said, and the last words I ever heard from Al Yankovic,
what's wrong with you?
Just that
the most
day,
negative
that
person
the
ever.
Last words I ever heard from my hero's mouth were, beat it, kid. No, he didn't say that. He said, I great. Love you too.
Aww.
I said, I love you too. And then I just cried like a baby.
You going to visit his grave?
He's not dead.
Are you sure? The way you're telling the story.
No,
really?
I'm just saying I'm moving away, and I feel like because of this job, we see Al frequently. I don't think I'll have that opportunity when I'm working as a mailman.
He's going to go to London.
Okay.
He can travel. Like, if this guy is this important to you, why are you assuming he's dead to you?
He's not dead to me.
Well, that's the way you're saying it.
I just feel like my opportunities are drying up. That's all I'm saying. It's just, look, it was just another chapter along the way to closing down my life in America. And it was it was emotional.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It's the birthday of Orville Wright, who with his brother Wilbur achieved the world's first flight. This was a terrible day in my life because I was selling horse-drawn carriages at the time, and then these douchebag brothers come along with a glorified kite and put me out of business. Took me 7 months to find another job. Thank God for that hostel.
See, because Reuben is old! What?
He is old. He certainly is old. That's our point.
They're going to get more and more reaching. I'll tell you that
okay.
much.
Okay. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Giving away Cure tickets next hour?
I am. Cure, Pixies, Deftones. Are you kidding me?
That's fantastic.
Oh,
all right.
It's going to be amazing.
So that'll be coming up right now. Another What's Happening Here on this Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, we're talking box office, you guys, because Good Boys did pretty well. $21 million for the number one opening at the box office this weekend. Guys, that's incredible. By the way, this is the first time that an R-rated comedy has placed number one since a movie called The Boss in spring of 2016.
Jensen, you're our movie expert.
All right.
R-rated comedies used to be very common, right?
Well, they got, I mean, back when we were younger, and then also recently with Bridesmaids and stuff like that, it did pick back up mm-hmm. and the sort of Seth Rogen approach. But then, yeah, it didn't. It had a bit of, I mean, there's just not many coming out, so.
And is that just because, why limit your box office if you can get away with a PG-13?
Or just focus on superhero movies and action movies and sequels and cartoons, yeah. It's just not making as much as the other things.
I mean, it's nice to see an original story Once Upon a Time in Hollywood do well. Yep. It's nice to see the Good Boys movie do well. I mean, that does give you hope.
Yeah, agreed.
Coming in number two, Hobbs and Shaw, that $14 million brings its domestic total to $133 million. By the way, the global gross of that movie, $436 million.
Yeah, so if you have like an explosion in The Rock in it, you're going to make a bunch of money overseas. Yeah.
Lion King still doing good. It's over $1 billion overseas. Bean was shocked at this, had no idea it was even a movie. And apparently a lot of people as well. The Angry Birds movie 2 only opened with $10.7 million this weekend, but they had a six-day opening because it opened on Tuesday. Not much better, $16.2 million, but that's against a $65 million budget, you guys.
I was stunned to see this. Rotten Tomatoes is at 76% on Angry Birds movie 2. Huh. So to me, if the movie's good, they did a terrible job of marketing it.
Well, you had no idea it was coming out.
No, not a word.
And nobody went. So yeah, something's up.
Do you know? Would you know anyone who does a voice in Angry Birds? Like offhand, do you know anyone who does a voice?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Yeah, I don't think I do either. And I feel like it's always super famous people that they put out on shows and
promote. Yeah,
spend a ton of money on it.
Should we look it up?
Somebody drop the ball, guys. I don't care that much.
Okay, cool. Coming in at number five, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That earned $10 million in its second weekend.
Okay, here's some names.
Okay.
Jason Sudeikis, Josh Gad, Leslie Jones, Bill Hader, Rachel Bloom, Awkwafina, Sterling K. Brown, Danny McBride, Peter Dinklage.
Oh, my God!
Those are all Angry Birds voices.
They dropped the ball on this.
Did we just miss all of the publicity, or was there
no,
really
everyone
none?
Missed it then, because it didn't make a ton of money.
Interesting.
I mean, I, again, feel like I pay attention.
Yeah.
Never even heard the words Angry Birds 2.
You like to stay current.
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of not current at all, remember the song Layla?
Sure.
Eric Clapton.
Derek of the Dominoes, yeah.
Dwayne Allman played guitar on that, and mm-hmm. the guitar that he used has been affectionately called Layla. It's been on display at the Allman Brothers Band Museum at the Big House in Macon, Georgia. Well, that guitar recently went up for auction, and it was bought by an anonymous feller who wishes to remain anonymous for $1.25 million. That's not bad.
Bean, how is the guitar so far?
Do you love it?
Not me, but if you're into rock memorabilia, that is a very special piece.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, especially as young as Dwayne Allman was when he died and as successful as that song has been.
Absolutely. How are you guys with emojis? Do you use emojis when you're texting?
Yeah. Sure.
I'm a thumbs up guy a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how you use emojis apparently says something about your personality. Researchers at the Kinsey Institute analyzed two studies and determined that people who frequently use emojis went on more first dates over the last year and had more frequent sexual activity. You guys going on more first dates?
Neither of us are available for first dates, but that does mean that Ruben may have put up more emojis in his cave drawing.
He might have, absolutely. And, I mean, are you having more sex?
Because of emojis?
Yeah.
I don't think people who use emojis have more sex.
If that's what they're saying.
Huh.
More frequent sexual activity. I feel like you
guys
are...
That's baloney.
You guys aren't
buying
it. It
doesn't make sense.
They say people who use emojis more often may be better at forming connections with others. Stop making my sons horny. I mean, what emoji do I send for that, I ask of you? All right, this is...
I mean, who does those... I mean, you said Kinsey, but, you get paid to do that study.
Yeah. There are a lot of studies that you're like, did we need this?
Right.
Probably not.
There's a new shop in my mall called Opinions.
Uh-huh.
It's like a... It's literally just a glass wall, and it above says Opinions, and I took a picture of it jokingly. Like, new store. Like, what would it... They pay teenagers to come in and do surveys. That's the whole thing in the mall.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it's called Opinions.
have a shop. Like this. I have a shop nearby called Assholes.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
I don't think you have that shot.
Just filling you in on the new things happening at the Topanga Plaza.
Thank you for that.
What we do here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Jensen, go in and take a survey.
Oh, yeah, actually, I will. That's a good idea.
Yeah, find out what it is they're
find
asking.
Find out what opinions is all about.
Well, here's a question for you. Everything's coming up pumpkin spice.
Sure.
Do you ever think, is pumpkin a fruit or a vegetable? Do you think that?
I've never thought it, but now that you've said it, I don't have an answer for you.
Which do you think?
I think it's a fruit. I would say fruit. That would be my guess.
You
in a washing machine?
Tarmac? Where are you?
Seaboat.
This guy with his sitting on a buoy.
Is it a fruit or a vegetable? I think it's got to be a fruit.
Yeah. Well, fruit is defined as the fleshy or dry ripened ovary of a plant enclosing the seed or seeds.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a fruit.
Okay, it is a fruit.
All right.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't think we have time tomorrow, but a listener emailed me over the weekend that there was a huge discussion at their work, fruit, what's up? And they were trying to rank fruits.
Oh, I'd love to rank fruits.
And I think that's something we may need to get into as well.
I saw that as well, and he said, watermelon's number one, right? And I was like, okay, you're the worst. Of course it's not number one.
I'm not showing my hand this early. So.
Well, I feel like it's not even a top five.
Obviously, pineapple's number one, so we don't even have to...
I don't think anyone should call in with their fruit.
Well, ladies appreciate that, Bean. Please, call now.
No, don't call in with your fruit.
Some birthdays for you. Kira Sedgwick, Peter Gallagher, Matthew Perry, John Stamos, Erica Christensen, and Melissa Fumero. And
Jensen, when you started dating your now wife, Danielle, did you have to meet any parents?
Yeah, I met her parents, and it went beautifully. Yeah, everything was fine. I mean, you always want to see where they come from because that sort of tells you maybe what you're in for in the future.
And it's also, it can be intimidating if you're the young man ready to go out on a first date and dad is looking you over because, you know, he was young once.
Yeah, when I was 16 or 17, I went to go pick up a girl for a first date and I walked in and the dude, the dad, was at the table. Nice to meet you, etc. He was cleaning his guns. And I was like, I kind of, even at that age, knew I was like, all right, power move.
Not a coincidence.
Yeah, just for that.
You didn't randomly walk in on him that day.
Yeah, just for that, we're definitely coming home late.
How about you, Allie? How was your pops when it came to meeting your first time daters?
I don't think he'd get off of the recliner.
Really?
Like, yeah, enjoy. Have her home by 11.
He just waved.
Because it was daily. You know, I just dated so much.
Sure. Well, technology has changed meeting the father because Pedro Lugo, who, by the way, lives in Massachusetts, Allie, was not home when his daughter Grace went out on a first date with a young man named Jared Downey. But he was on the Ring doorbell. He was certainly, as soon as Jared came to ring the doorbell to pick up Grace, Dad was there and had some thoughts for him.
Hello? Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. Who's this?
I'm Jared.
Hello, Jared. This is Pedro. This is Grace's dad.
Oh, good to talk to you.
Oh, sorry. I can't meet you in person because I'm at work. So at least I get to see your face, but you don't get to see mine.
Okay, right there.
The laugh.
You don't get to see mine. All right. I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a little bit more intense than I thought. All right, before we go on, does it strike you as weird that he would go out of his way to be there to talk to his girl's first date as he came to ring the doorbell?
No.
Like, does it seem weird that he even dipped in at all? Like, why did he?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, I have not heard it, so I feel like he probably takes it a little too far. But so far,
okay.
Awesome.
So far, so good. All right.
Where are you guys going?
I think we're gonna go to the Roadhouse and then maybe a movie.
Okay, which movie are you guys gonna go see?
Okay, are we at the point now where it's a little bit too much information being required? By the way, his daughter is not 14, okay?
Right.
She looks like she's around 19 in this video to me. So I don't know, is that unusual to ask which movie you're gonna go see? Are you just like checking the story to make sure they're not heading to a motel?
Trying to catch him up in something. What movie?
Yeah. Okay. You're not seeing a movie,
right?
Are you? Yeah, no, he's all right so far.
Do you think he could shoot through the ring doorbell, too, if he wants to?
I mean, he could at least say he has a gun.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, let's find out what movie.
Hello?
Hello, my young daughter. Just hold on 1 minute. What movie are you guys going to go see?
All right, so the daughter now has come out of the front door, and he's like, step aside, I'm having a conversation with your young man here.
Toy Story.
Okay. Roughly what time you guys going to be coming home?
The movie at 7, probably before 11.
Oh, I heard 10:30. Okay, that's good.
not getting away with any of that 11 crap. Not on my watch.
Works for me.
All right, so just make sure you treat her correctly because that's my first daughter.
You don't have to worry, sir.
All right. All right. I got a good picture of you.
All right. So she's so done with her dad.
She really is. She's so embarrassed at this point. I got a good picture of you, I guess, is kind of a smart thing to say. Like, don't think you're going to kidnap my daughter and we're not going to know who you are. So, I mean, I guess that's a good thing to put in somebody's mind, right?
I mean, did she just, like, meet him on the internet that day or something? I mean, did they have no history?
Yeah, see, we don't know. We don't know the answer to that.
All right, call me if anything.
Okay.
And remember, I know people everywhere, so they're looking at what you're doing.
Okay. Now, what's that about?
We're way too far over the line now.
What is he hire? Does he hire people to follow them around?
He knows people at the theater. Yeah. He knows people at the restaurants. He's good. He's a man about town.
He's got stuff going on. That's why he's always traveling, but he's got eyes back home. That's what he's saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
All right, bye.
What time coming home?
Okay, so I thought we're done. Now they've said love you and bye, but Dad just wants to double check that time.
Yeah, 10:30.
What time coming home?
Before 11.
Okay, I heard 10:30 again. So I'll see you later. And remember, I know what time the movie starts again.
What? Oh, my God. 7:20.
I love his daughter. They're going, oh, my God. Like, please get me out of here.
7:20, movie ends like around 9:15. Yeah, so before 10:30.
Okay, 11 o'clock.
10:30.
11.
Don't make me look for you. Because I will. You know I will.
Yeah, I bet you will, Dad.
Hey, go take a picture of his license plate.
Okay. We already have your picture. We've seen you on camera, but that's not enough. Now, I'm sorry, we're going to have to run your tags and do a background check on you. Oh, and we'll need some blood.
Yeah, also, if you could leave your fingerprint on the Ring doorbell.
Come on.
What?
All right, so I'll talk to Lid, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Oh my God. Bye.
Jordan, take a picture of his license plate of his car right now before they leave. No, they're still in front of the house. I'm watching. I'm talking to them. Take a picture right now.
Yeah.
You better open the door. Good job on opening the door.
He's still watching as they're heading out to the curb. He's yelling at the kid about opening the door. Now, update since the video. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What time did the kids get home from Toy Story?
Oh, please say 1 a.m.
Oh, way before 10:30. Like, probably, like, 10:10.
10:18, ladies and gentlemen. Nice. 10:18, and they have since been out on a second date. They went to the Red Sox game a couple of days later. What time's the game start?
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Not that you're not always delightful. Not that I haven't enjoyed every word of every what's happening. But I'm going to be honest when I tell you this is the one we've been waiting for.
Yeah?
This is the one.
Okay.
Hook us up.
Oh, is it because of what I'm giving away?
Yeah!
How about a pair of tickets to the Pasadena Daydream Festival at the Brookside at the Rose Bowl on August 31st? It's just, you know, the Deftones, the Pixies, and the Cure. You guys, this is gonna be the best. A beautiful place to see a concert, and you're gonna see some amazing bands as well. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. And 800-520-1067. No, that's Empire.
Today.
That's Empire. Not the same place.
Call my mama.
It's gonna be Ruben that answers, but go ahead and give him a call. Let's take caller. Since it's on August 31st, let's take caller 7.
Call now.
Because that didn't
make
sense.
Please call now.
Okay, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 7 and have a wonderful day. Good stuff, you guys.
You'll be happy you called. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it.
I bet you will. You guys, Major League Baseball has been trying to get some younger viewers, maybe people that have, short attention spans. They're not really tuning in because the games are 7-8 hours long.
Yeah, sometimes literally some of the best young superstars in baseball history are playing right now.
And not many people are watching.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, Commissioner Rob Manfred won't be a fan of this headline. Yesterday, Jack White attended the beginning of the Milwaukee Brewers-Washington Nationals game, left to play a show with Rock on Tours at the nearby D.C. venue, The Anthem, then returned to the stadium in time to catch the end of the game in extra innings. You guys!
That is awesome.
That's so bad!
Hey, how did he get back in? I thought baseball games are always no re-entry.
I feel like he's Jack White.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it did go to 14 innings.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean.
That's hilarious that he came back after the show.
I love it so much. Do you think he ended the show, like, looked around, he's like, wait, the game's still going? All right, see you guys.
Guess I'll go. I want to see
That's exactly what happened, is he looked on his phone and saw that the game was still on. He said, let's go back. He and Brendan went back.
Oh, great. God, I love it so very much.
That is great.
Also, apologies, you guys, for not letting you know that it's like National Potato Day.
It is what? National Potato Day.
Yeah. Happy National Potato Day.
I can't believe
we
waited till the 9 o'clock hour
for this. But they deserve something, the 9 o'clockers.
So does that mean we can involve fries, or is it
absolutely
just a baked potato?
Well, let's go through the most popular potato orders in the U.S.
Potatoes, what's
in
up?
In 2019, top 10 potato orders. Give me some potatoes.
Number one, let me hear. Remote control. French fries.
69% of potato dishes ordered in the U.S. have been French fries, making them the number one pick in these here Spud rankings.
I mean, mashed potatoes obviously has got to be big, right?
Mashed potatoes, number four.
The baked potato?
Baked potato, number seven.
Tater skins.
Tater skins, number eight, Mugs.
Now, is tater skins and tater tots the same thing?
No, they are not.
Tater
Thank
tots,
you for asking.
Oh.
Tater tots, number six.
Okay.
What restaurants offer tater tots?
Dude.
Are you kidding?
Are you serious?
I didn't know.
Jesus.
I used to have a dog named Tater Tot.
On Potato Day, to say something like that is disgusting.
Yeah, I am embarrassed.
Okay.
All right. What other kinds of potatoes can you have? Would this count? You said French fries, but does that also involve like curly fries and crinkle fries and all the variations of French fries? Or are they all in one?
It doesn't.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Let me see curly fries.
Nope.
Oh, jeez.
Let me see crinkle fries.
Nope.
Let me see criss-cut fries.
Nope.
Let me see waffle fries.
Waffle fries, number three. Number three.
Jensen does know his fast food,
sure,
man.
He does.
That's my job.
All right. What other kind of potatoes are there?
Well, I will give you number 10 because it's dumb.
Hush puppies.
No. Loaded tater tots.
No. Oh,
so
that
that's
stupid.
Just dumb.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Okay.
Is there fries with ketchup on it?
No.
So what are we missing? What number?
Number 9.
Oh, gosh.
And number 5.
Oh, jeez.
Potatoes.
Oh. Mojo potatoes.
What does that mean?
You've never been to Shakey's?
Oh, those are good.
They're like
potato wedges.
Yeah.
Oh, potato wedges with like the, then they've got the chives and the bacon on it. Oh,
well,
yeah.
You could
That's a good guess.
I think those are potato skins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did we say potato skins?
We did.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I think
just is really thinking about potato skins.
I'm out too.
Although
potato skins sound real good right now. I'll tell you that.
Okay. In the Spud rankings, number 10, loaded tater tots.
Yeah.
Number 9 that you didn't get, home fries.
Home fries.
Sure.
Number 8, potato skins. Muggs got that 8 times.
Wait, hash browns?
Oh!
Hash browns number 2!
Oh, my God.
Well done, Jess.
Well done.
I mean, way too late after the buzzer, but you hit that 3-pointer.
Number 7, baked potato. Number 6, tater tots. Number 5, you didn't get. And it makes sense because you don't really think of this. Because there's so much else involved.
Okay.
But maybe you bring it to a picnic.
Potato salad?
Potato salad. Number 5. Number 4, mashed potatoes. Number 3, waffle fries. Number 2, hash browns. Number 1, French fries. And this has been your potato rankings.
This is a very nice tribute to National Potato Day, Allie.
Call that!
No, don't call it.
Thank
you
so much.
More potatoes. We got them all.
For that.
Well, mashed potatoes are no gravy. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know what you're saying.
How many times do you get to use that one?
Remember we did the story about the guy that would wear a TV on his head?
That is funny. Leaving
TVs all over the neighborhood on front doors.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, we talked about it last week.
Don't listen to that guy. No.
Okay. You heard about the newest one?
I've never met him.
I haven't even said it's a guy yet, sir.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, I'll tell you. Authorities in Missouri are investigating after residents have found creepy dolls posed in odd locations all around the county. Residents of Jefferson County said the dolls have been discovered posed in strange locations that sometimes lead them to initially be confused for children.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
I mean, I would, and I wish I could, but he is no longer with us. They've been hanging on top of stop signs, laying in front of a licensing office. Really creepy, you guys.
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, no, sir, that is creepy. There's no way around it.
Well, I think it's odd that you have to smoke inside of White Stripe outside.
It's a good point.
Not related, but has some weight to that.
Okay. Very odd.
Or burn.
I just like baseball when I was a kid.
We already did the baseball story, sir. So the Smashing Pumpkins treated their Camden, New Jersey audience to a very interesting cover during their set. They're on tour with Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, and Billy Corgan and his bandmates did a very Smashing Pumpkin spin on the 1970 folk rock classic.
Watch out. Careful.
Close.
Careful.
On the button.
Close. Fire and Rain by James Taylor. You
I
guys,
have it.
You have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Let's hear it. Oh, listen to the synth. We like to party. We like to party. Yeah, that's actually, that's not it.
Can you wait till the horn?
Yeah.
Thank yeah. you. I know no it's problem. A joke, but I'm not going to turn it off before the horn.
Okay, here it goes.
Yeah, all right.
I am actually a huge James Taylor fan, so I'm delighted to actually play the Pumpkins cover of Fire and Rain.
Thank you.
This is how we do
it. This is how I do it.
Da 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 da.
That's Muggs at a bar. Just covering Montel Jordan.
I mean, I do have it.
You do.
Thank you.
If you want to.
Thank you.
That's actually, yeah, that's talking about boobs, V, and butt.
I do have it.
Okay. Barocco's tacos. Barocco's tacos. Nope, that's a... Barocco's tacos. That's Clownvis.
How about,
Casually drinking milk. Casually drinking milk.
Is that GMC Faux Show?
It is.
Okay. Yeah. I do have it.
All right, thank you.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. I hate the sharpest tool in the
just like a barbershop quartet doing some Smash Mouth. Okay.
The best part of that clip is that it's live. So a couple seconds in, the audience realizes what it is. And you hear, like, yeah, listen.
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me.
It's not super loud, which makes it funnier.
All right, Al, you want me to play it?
Yes, please. Okay. Thank you.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross.
I set up hip hop. The hippie together. Yep. Hip hop. You don't stop the rocket to the bang bang. Rookie set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie, the beat.
We're out of time. Let's do some birthdays.
All right, here it is. Yeah,
it sounds fake.
Why is that the worst of all the clips we played?
It's not a great sound. All right, not worth it.
So all of that was for 4 seconds of the real song.
Listen. All right, some birthdays for you. Matthew Perry, Kira Sedgwick, John Stamos, Peter Gallagher, Erica Christensen, and Melissa Mero. That's what's happening.
The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today. Nope. Beer Mug, you have been at Hot Topic locations all over SoCal, making sure people are aware that they can win this intimate concert for they and 20 friends with Billie Eilish. What's going on today?
That is right, Bean, and today I will be in Glendale. That is right, at the Glendale Galleria with more tickets. We're going to be giving away Smashing Pumpkins, so you might, if you win, you'll hear the actual Fire and Rain cover if you go to the concert. Right. We'll have more Hot Topic gift cards, one worth $106. We have the new K-Rock t-shirt, pop sockets, and more. Come down to Glendale Galleria, 1 to 3 today. Hot Topic.
Have a great time. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, it was alerted to us earlier today that people are having sex in porta-potties. And that somebody on this show made out with a girl in a porta-potty.
Oh.
I don't get it. I don't like it, and I don't want to hear more, but I will anyway tomorrow morning. Also, Jensen, you suggested that we rank actors who sing.
Yeah, our favorite actors who are singers. We make fun of them a lot here on the show, whether it's Keanu Reeves or the Bacon Brothers or whatever, but let's pick some that are actually rule.
Allie, you have disturbing news about America's underwear habits.
Yeah, you men are nasty.
All of that and armpit hair. What's